the correct time.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Terry, where's your chair? Where's Karen's seat down by you? You're by the pizza.
I don't believe there's any media here. Forward with that. And just let the audience know the agenda is kind of written up there. So you can kind of refer to that if that helps you out. So I want to first just thank everybody for coming. The big reason we're doing this is I made a statement a few meetings back about, you know, I believe the citizens of our community deserve a council that's going to act professional and do everything in their power to work together. I really would just like to there's some things I want to address as far as some procedural things in the meeting, and I wanted to get together with the group to explain why the thoughts I have. I have some different ideas on maybe how to address what I think is some potential issues. Of course, I want to get the feedback and see if you guys agree with it and are good with that. But the main thing is, it's time to move forward, quit looking back, and start doing some good, positive things for the community. We have Paul, who I think he's made his way around to introduce everybody. I'm going to just kind of turn it over to him, and as we go through some stuff between, I think maybe the both of us, we can hopefully address everything that we need to address. And I have a little list, and hopefully probably everybody else might have a thing or two, and we'll just kind of go off the guidelines, and I'll turn it over to Paul at this time.
Thanks, Mayor. So my name is Paul Cook. I'm an old-time city manager guy. I've been spending the last 15, 16 years bopping around Oregon and Washington, up in small rural communities. I was telling somebody in the audience here, this is the first one city I've been invited in to help that isn't in the middle of a lawsuit, recall elections, and the city being sued for a variety of things. So this is really refreshing for me. So as the mayor had indicated, this is his desire to move forward as a city council staff team, working with the community to make progress for the community. I don't know about some of you. Danny, can you see that?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. Let me borrow your glasses. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about what other communities do. Not that you have to do it, but so that you'll begin to see that you're not the only community or city council or city staff who's faced some of the issues that you're facing. Then we're going to start going through what is it we want to accomplish in meetings, communication-wise, and we're going to catalog those. And Jerry, I assume you guys are going to type those up and make them available to everybody. So before we get started, any questions? So let me tell you how this works. So my job is the easiest one. You have to do the work. And if you work effectively, we can get out of here around 8 to 8:30. But we could be here till midnight, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't think anybody wants to do that. And that may be way beyond my bedtime. So the idea here is to get everybody to lay all of the issues and the concerns on the table and focus on how do we work together to resolve those? What do we put together in the way of written procedures that helps us avoid some of the issues that we know we're going to walk into? At any moment, if you feel uncomfortable, if you don't feel that your issues are being taken care of, raise your hand or yell at me so we can stop and make sure that your issues are being taken care of. I did come to town last week and met with staff, met with a couple of the council members, had a telephone conversation with the city manager, the mayor, and one of the council members. I don't know a lot about your issues, and for you that's probably helpful, because it'll force you to identify those and get them on the table so that you can work through them. Spend a little bit of time talking about what a city council does. You have a charter that identifies for this community the specific requirements of your city council. Every city has a city council has a charter. Everyone is slightly different because every community is different. So generally, city councils set policy and direction. In your community, because you are a city manager community, the responsibility for all the employees except those who are elected belongs to the city manager. The city manager is also responsible to the mayor and the city council for carrying out policy and direction, the budget, and any other policies that may have been set outside of the budget by the city council. So the manager works at the behest of the council. That's who he works for. All the employees work for the city manager. In your situation here, the manager and the staff prepare comprehensive reports for each council meeting that identify issues, give you options, and make recommendations. And that becomes the focus of the council for their meetings. What do you, Jerry, meet twice a month? We meet twice a month in a formal business setting, and that's where elected officials or city councils do their work. Outside of that, the city council member doesn't really have much authority. It has great importance relationship with the community to carry forward and bring forward the issues that your constituents bring to you. Now, that's done in a number of different ways in the city, so I'm going to share with you some of the ways that some communities handle these issues. So there are some communities who create a city manager mayor issue group, so that if you're a council member and you have coffee with somebody and they talk about some issue, then the council member would go to the mayor would approach the city manager, they would figure out what the issue is, the city manager would do whatever work is necessary, but then almost immediately inform the rest of the city council that this issue came up, we met with the mayor, and this is what we're doing about it. Other communities get very formal. They have written forms. So whether you're a citizen or a city council member, you fill out a form. And then you file that form that goes to the city manager. The city manager looks into the issue and keeps the council and the citizen who filed the form apprised of what's happening on that issue. Many of the issues can be handled quite simply by stopping in and visiting with the manager, calling the manager on the phone and saying, hey, what's the deal? So those are two different ways that it's done. You have on your agenda a time for city council members to have some on the floor. That ideally is not the place for you to bring something that's 2 weeks old, a month old, or even 2 days old. As elected officials, you want to get resolution of the issues that people bring to you as quickly as you can. And focus your time during your formal business meeting on the issues that are most pertinent to that agenda and to the future of the community. There are places where you take the city manager, the mayor, and the council president, and they meet weekly and go over issues. It becomes important then for the council to focus their issues and questions on the mayor or the council president. But again, those then get handled and reported out. The key to all of this is not what other people do, but what is going to make you as a community working with your elected officials and your staff be a team that moves the community into the future. So everybody has a different way of doing it. You can go into every city, and every city has a different staff report format. Some councils like more data than I saw that was included in your reports. Other councils don't want as much. They really want a verbal discussion to take advantage of staff's knowledge and expertise in resolving issues. So that'll give you some idea as to what other communities do. Are there any questions?
Well, I have maybe a third option on that. I think you hit perfect on what we call the council comments. And I'm not going to, beat that to death anymore, because I think you hit on it well. And I've talked to the city manager, and maybe a third option the council might want to consider as far as is he is okay if you just want to call him directly. Or he even said if you want to call a department head directly, if you have a question, immediately. And then they'll let Jerry know, or you can call Jerry, and then he'll let the rest of the council know immediately. So then we're just maybe one more option, because you said meet with us or fill out a paper. And just another option to consider when we kind of narrow this down is if you guys just want to, personally, I encourage you to come and talk to them and things of that nature. So.
And Mayor, that's a good option, and that may be the one that works best for you. You will find in the city manager profession, most city managers do not like any of the elected officials talking to the staff. And I think you could begin to foresee, and I've seen this happen in a community, where the council is communicating with the third public works crew guy who has to be there because of an OSHA requirement and directing that third person go do something else. You don't want to have that.
Yeah, and
it's real confusion.
I brought up that concern with Jerry, and it was actually his recommendation that he's okay with meeting with department heads if it's something that they think they could directly answer.
Yeah.
And that's kind of between Jerry and speaking maybe more on his thought process on that.
That's really a good way to go. And if that works for your community,
not just throwing that out as far as
council needs to know they have that freedom and flexibility to do that. The employees and the department heads need to know after you have that conversation with the mayor of the council, you need to let the city manager know the conversation took place and what it was about. Did I see some other? Frank, did you have one?
In the past, and it says don't do the past, but we can't do this without doing the past. There's been accusations that council members have been out directing staff. And for my part, that's not a true statement, but it has been, I've been part of the ones they've made the accusations against. And I don't direct staff. I've never talked to staff outside of the council meeting.
Right.
That's why I do it at the council meeting, because these innuendos and accusations have come up. So as far as I'm concerned, the only place to do it is at the council meeting where everybody's there.
That's great. I mean, if you feel, if it's either we do it as a team or, I don't know if you do in the visual, then, Frank can talk to the city manager then. What I'm getting at is that when you have a meeting and then you go down the pipe and you go down the line and everybody's got 5, 10, 15 questions that may be 2 weeks old, 3 weeks old, and it may be near and dear to your heart, but I don't believe that you need to take up, because it isn't just our meeting, it's the public's meeting, it's the staff's meeting, it's the council meetings. And you're going down and then it just turns it into, it just turns in sometimes to unhealthy, and it turns into what may be near and dear to my heart, you could care less about. But yet I'm going to read 20 questions about that, and I just think, for the use of time, this is what he said, I think there's other routes we can take, or at least give it a try.
Yeah, I agree with Frank as far as the past, but I think, Frank, maybe tonight is a good time just to, if you can, forget the past and forget any accusations that you think might have happened, and let's just go forward and let's try something new. I mean, it doesn't hurt to try something new. If it doesn't work, you can always go back to what happened before. I, for one, don't care what happened in the past to you or anybody else here. I just assume move the city forward. If it's a new idea, let's try it. I mean, it doesn't hurt, does it?
Other things, even at the council meetings, I guess there's a lot of, I helped call for this meeting. I pushed for it because there's things that's gone on. We voted to increase the sewer rates last year, and it never happened. We voted to create a multi-use zone last year, and that hasn't happened yet. And as a council, we vote on these things, and they don't move forward. we need communication there too.
So that could be partly council's fault too. I mean, don't put the blame all on staff if that's what you're doing.
Where do you put it?
Well, you can put it on the council for not following up on it.
Well,
that's where I would put it.
It's,
yes. And another thing maybe to add too is if your questions, because I'm all for you getting your question out, and if you go through a channel that we're going to try to hopefully give a try, and if you're not happy with your answer, and I'm informed that you went to the proper channel, you can let me know and I'll put it on the agenda. And then we can discuss it in more dialogue. But every question to be out in the public meeting, I'm very, you know, I like organized, you know, constructive meetings. But if you go through a process and if you're not happy with your answer, by all means, I'm all for taking it to another level if you want to discuss it further.
So, Frank, what I heard you talk about were some of the council decisions were not fully implemented. Is that correct?
Correct.
So one option for that is maybe periodically the council says, hey, you know what? We need to have a work session with staff and bring those up there.
I thought that's what this was.
Yeah.
That's not what this is.
Yeah.
No, but that was my intent when I mentioned we haven't.
Yeah. So I want to go back to the mayor's suggestion about a way to do that too. If you learn of an issue or have a concern, you should go to the city manager and get that addressed. I think is that what you council members are in agreement you want to do?
I think that's what we should do, and I think that we should do it in a written venue so that it can be go out to all the council members. If we email Jerry a question, then he can direct the staff, and then everybody can be copied and we all are on the same page, because we did have problems with people saying, well, I didn't know about that, she knows about that, he doesn't know about that. And so I just think we do need to have a procedure that we follow.
So if you have a question or a concern, you're going to go to the city manager. Anybody disagree with that?
And then he's going to send out an email to everybody, is that what you're saying?
Right, that was Karen's suggestion. Once the manager gets it, then that information, whether it's a face-to-face contact or a phone call or an email, the city manager's job is to immediately get that information to all the council members. Does that work for you?
Anybody else?
Well, I will add, I actually don't want to talk a lot, but we do have that council request form on the page that we created for doing that, and it actually has built-in tracking for it. So all I'm saying is you could send an email or use that form, and we'd be happy to follow.
Is that form, you can click on the form and send it? Can you do that?
It's above my pay grade.
Not in the old website. I'll see what the new one. I'm
sorry, Karen, you're not talking about somebody, the citizen has a concern that they have to fill out the form.
No.
Okay, great, because I don't know.
Okay. Well, I know Frank did it once. I can't even remember, I just know Frank's the only one that's used it, and I thought it worked effectively then.
Had to hire a soundbreaker.
Good job, Frank.
Okay. So by agreeing to go to the city manager with questions or issues immediately, and having the city manager respond back to all the council members, does that work for you all?
Yeah, I think if people agree, I just threw out the option that Jerry said about the department heads. I personally think it should just go to Jerry, I just think one person, myself, and I think he started kind of getting off. I just wanted to throw that out because he didn't mention it.
Well, I think that would solve the problem that Frank was talking about.
I do too.
You know, that people are accusing somebody of something.
Exactly.
Let's just do away with that. Let's
exactly.
Not get a hold of the department heads and contact the city. But he's the one who works for us. Yeah. Department heads don't.
I agree. And that's, and maybe it'll help, address Frank's issue.
Yeah, Mayor, that's really a good point. And that's why you'll find city managers resigning. Because you get a council to that point.
Yeah.
So if you want to, and generally gets couched in how do we operate the most effectively and efficiently. He's our employee. We take issues to him, and we focus on him to communicate and resolve. Anybody disagree?
Forrest, when we're dealing with the department heads, if
we don't talk to them, I don't have a problem with that part, but I feel the department head should actually email us back, because let's just put a paper load on Jerry, and he's got plenty of other stuff to do, where, man, he's trying to translate what they're trying to say.
Absolutely, that's how we do it.
But it'd be, yeah, Jerry's job to delegate if he wanted to.
Right, yeah. So,
okay, 4 days off.
Yeah. So Forrest goes to Jerry and says, here's my concern. Jerry looks at it and
I signed it to Vicki. He says
it to Vicki. Then tells the rest of the council, here was the issue, here's what I'm doing with it, you'll get your report from Vicki.
And you evaluate me on my response to that, and I'll evaluate her and her effectiveness in doing it.
I just had one question from Chad. How does that affect the public meeting laws?
Mm-hmm. The public meeting laws aren't necessarily implicated unless you start having a deliberation about that response. You can have that one-way communication.
So we're just like gathering facts this way.
Right. Just don't hit reply all to Vicki's email and don't have a conversation about her response with more than a quorum in your file.
Okay.
And don't say, I vote yes.
Yes.
All in favor. Chad, can you take just a moment and cover that topic with these folks?
The topic of public meetings?
Yeah, the topic of public meetings. What's the impact of using the electronic resources to have more and more communication? What do they look out for? What do they stay away from?
So the two most important things are, first, what we were just talking about, is that a quorum of the council may not make a decision or deliberate towards a decision outside the scope of a public meeting. So if you're getting one-way communication from staff, that's fine. If you're asking a question to staff, that's fine. But as soon as you start deliberating towards a decision, i.e. hitting reply all and saying, I agree with this, or hey, this is a big problem, then you're starting towards deliberation, and that becomes a public meeting outside the scope of a notice meeting and can cause a problem. The second issue is record retention. So when you're sending these emails, all these emails are public records. So depending on how you are sending the email and using the email, you want to make sure that the city has in place some sort of procedure to keep one official copy of these communications to comply with the public record retention law. Typically, that would be done by Debbie, so making sure that she's copied on your communication, and Jerry and whoever the department head is can certainly arrange for that to happen. But that's the other aspect that you need to take into consideration if, for some reason, you're having that one-way communication with someone, that you may be creating public record that has to be retained.
So what about client-attorney privilege kind of information?
Well, so if it's a communication with my office, it's still a public record that has to be retained according to the record retention policies. It just may be able to be withheld from disclosure because it's attorney-client privilege. The only other thing that I would add about the discussion that's been going on is there is the charter provision about coercion and not trying to coerce staff into making a decision. So making an inquiry with a question is absolutely fine. You just don't want to be pushing staff to make a certain type of decision that could somehow be interpreted as coercion in violation of the charter.
And by focusing on the city manager, you reduce that
yes.
potential danger. Yeah. For council members, do you all have a copy of the city charter? All right, Mayor, does this take care of what you're trying to do regarding
this? Yeah, as far as that part of the meeting. Yeah, as far as the...
We still have Frank's issue here of decisions not being implemented.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you want to handle those, Jerry?
Well, I think Frank makes a good point. While I don't agree with him in terms of the rate increase, we had a meeting, we talked about it. That comes back to the communications. You know, we somehow, as staff, failed to appropriately do the feedback loop in letting council know the legal and critical issues regarding that previously agreed upon council rate increase. There's a whole bunch of parameters to it, rate equity that got thrown into it. So I think Frank brings a poignant point, is that just personally, if council could help clarify for me in circumstances where We believe that change was both warranted and informally acknowledged by council, that perhaps we ought to make that more formal in terms of a vote in a public meeting. You see what I'm saying? Because we obviously failed. Frank and other council members still think that we didn't implement that without having brought it back. I thought we did on multiple occasions, but if I fail to do that, we got to create a mechanism to satisfy that.
So part of what I'm hearing, Jerry, is actually getting the council to take a formal action that gets documented, and then staff to report periodically, monthly.
A system of reporting, right? Karen, you have it.
Karen.
Well, I think where the rub comes in is that we had the agreement to do the rate increase, and it was more or less brought back to us, we're not going to do it because, rather than, we don't think we should do it because, what do you think? I mean, it's our job to set the direction, right? I think that's kind of...
We should know our role. What you just said.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, but that, we still don't know what our rate increase is going to be. It's all a guess. I mean, that's where it's all figures, and our rate increases never really said, okay, this is what we're going to do. So you have the public out there that's calling you saying, hey, I hear my sewer's going to triple, or your water rates, fire. It travels through all kinds of communications. But a lot of the stuff you're just guessing on. You can study the crap out of it, but until it's really built and done, it's like our sewer plant, they're guessing what the cost is going to be. So, that's what he's meaning that it's never been implemented. We've never really sat down and said, okay, we're going to raise your rates to $64 a month or $66. But we've
kind of a moving target, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, Jerry, for my benefit, has the council established a new fees and charges policy for that?
No, we're still working on it. We were asked to take and do further analysis on rate equity because we have 23 different rates. Anyway, council knows we're working on that.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll have a rate by the end of March, right? When we say the last meeting of March.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the problem. The problem is you want to have a citizens advisory committee, then you want to get this back in front of council. This has been going on over a year, mm-hmm. and we're going to be pushed to a deadline, and it's going to be like so many things. We're going to feel pushed, and like we don't have enough time to really consider it.
And you're absolutely correct. And what's been holding this whole thing up is our DEQ financing. We don't know what the dollar amount is, or the interest rate, or the long-term payback. So we're just kind of nursing the process along before the inertia kicks in for us to finish that last piece.
Yeah, Frank, you had a comment.
This started off with, we are going to build a sewer plant, we are going to raise the rates, and we voted to agree, and I don't know the exact dollar amount, I don't remember, but let's just say a dollar,
$6
a month. This is going to go out over 5 years. It's going to be 5 years before this is done. And our, at least in my mind, was it'd be like buying a house. If you can put up $10,000, it's going to cost this much. $20,000, it's going to be less. $30,000, it's going to be less. So if we could pocket some money at the end of the 5 years, we're borrowing $22 million. Maybe we can borrow 20 or 19 or 19 and a half or 21 and a half. But we're going to borrow less money if we
right.
start accumulating it now. And that was the gist of the conversation we had at that time.
So, Mayor and Jerry, it sounds like this may be a topic for a special work session to bring council completely up to date, begin identifying some of the issues, Karen, that you did, and see what are we doing on the advisory committee? What are we doing? What's our public process look like going forward?
Mm-hmm. We've had lots of those.
I'm sure.
We've had a lot of workshops.
So
that's what we're trying to come up with, different mechanisms to use, so there is a process, you know. So not only identifying problems, but trying to identify solutions on what, you know, where we don't have these concerns, and maybe if we can implement something, is my overall goal.
And Jerry is correct. Both the state and the federal government, when you apply for grants or loans, you can't do much until they decide which pieces they're going to fund, which then has a direct bearing on what your rate could be or wants to be. So until you get some of those funding agencies to come in and make a decision, here's what we're going to pay for, then that gives you some direction to move forward.
Would it help with the council, just, you know, whatever the topic is, at that time, maybe develop a subcommittee or some type of check and balances? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm trying to, you know, look at the future. So if there's future things that are bigger projects, is that something that would, I'm just throwing it out there, as far as is coming up with some type of workshop, subcommittee, whatever you want to call it, to
Todd, I think that would work real well on a lot of the things. When we got big issues coming up,
exactly.
If we had three or four, well, you can have four, but if we had two or three people on the council to follow up on things and keep the council informed and work with the staff, I think
it's a great idea.
I think it's great.
Well, when we formed the wastewater RFQ committee, we still invited Wes when he got on the council as a council member to be on that committee with us. And we talked about, while we're moving this thing along, having a council member or two would be good for us as well. So when we report, you're there. There's clarity of communication and understanding, and you can bring the confidence as an elected official. I think this thing's working fairly well. So I think it's a great idea, and as we get through some of these projects, pinpoint some of those.
And that's really a good strategy, and maybe a better one for you folks. So Mayor, I wrote that down as a solution, and I would suggest that the council direct the city manager to put together a policy that says we're going to create a city council subcommittee. What can they do, Jerry? They can go to three without tipping the quorum, and then link yourselves with the staff to become familiar with that, so that there's more than just staff who has that knowledge. So when it comes back to council, you then have three members of the city council who can answer and front for a lot of the issues. Chad?
I just want to throw out that it's certainly a good idea, and lots of cities do have these kinds of subcommittees, but when you create that committee in and of itself is a public body, so now you've got two members of that three-member body constituting a quorum who then can't talk to each other about the issues within the committee's jurisdiction. And then, likewise, when the committee meets, they still have to have the public notice and the meeting minutes and all that other kind of stuff. So it's absolutely fine to do this, but just be fully aware of what you're getting into.
And there are a lot of communities that do this. It's not a big issue.
Why just one council?
Or two or one, would that help at all?
Well, so part of it depends on what you're talking about. I think part of what Jerry's describing is a situation where the city manager is forming a group to help the city manager do his job. And the city manager, typically when he has a group like that, those aren't public bodies because it's advising him, it's not advising the council.
Right.
If you're actually creating a subcommittee of the council, then that is a public body that therefore has to have the meeting minutes. And the
so if you have a meeting that you just invite the same people to?
Well, it would be essentially a staff meeting where we invite one or two counselors.
So, Chad, they could appoint, and maybe this was a wrong use of word.
Staff meeting.
They could appoint two council members.
The city manager could say, I'm inviting these people and sort of perform the council. But when the council takes an action, says, here's a group of people that we're going to have be a committee for us, then that's going to be a committee subject to the public.
So he could go to the council and say, I'd like to have two members of the council volunteer to work with us on this project.
Right.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Karen, does that make sense to you?
That makes sense to me.
Okay. So we're talking about a volunteer from council to work with staff. Council, is that going to work?
pretty good.
Okay.
I got one question before we move on. Just so I'm clear on this. Going back to what Frank was talking about with the rates and how the council voted to increase and then staff found reasons on not to do it and presented that to the council, the proper procedure would have, correct me if I'm wrong, would have been it would have gone back to the council and the council would have voted to either stop or move on.
That's right. That's what we'll do from here forward.
But we didn't vote. What happened was staff came in and said, we want to do this, and we decided we had a consensus that we wanted to raise them $6 a month for a year and then $6 next year. And but we didn't have a vote, but we were expecting staff to bring that to us in January. So it wasn't a thing that we voted on.
So you didn't vote. You didn't vote for an increase.
We didn't vote.
Okay. And that's the point I was making. We needed to do that, make it more formal.
But it was done as a consensus. Council, here's the issue. We don't need to vote on it this time. What's the consensus?
Kind of.
Yes. And that's another issue I had. I don't know when we get to it, but that's another procedure thing I have issues on or questions on or whatever you want to. The consent.
Consensus.
Yeah, getting the consensus. I think that's a perfect example because at the end of the meeting, at council comments, it's you're getting consensus, and in my mind, you're taking action. You're going down the line. Karen, what do you think? Wes, what do you think? Frank, what do you think? And it's more or less voting, and then you're directing staff to go do that. And so it turns into that, but it's not official. Like, and that's always been a concern of mine, because it's like if it's an action item, it needs to be on the agenda. For one, the folks know that that's what we're taking action on. And when you start doing this consensus, I never had a like that, because to me it's action. And I think this is a perfect example of maybe some of the fallout.
Well, I think what we had was kind of a consensus on what to bring back to us to vote on.
Yeah, I'm just talking in general. I mean, I'm just talking the consensus thing. And to me, it's a form of action. I don't know what the other council thinks. I'm just throwing that out there because I wrote it down. There's that. Because what happens is sometimes things will just get sprung up. Well, I want to get a consensus, and you vote, and you direct staff, and it was never on the agenda. And, you know, somebody could just throw anything they want out there, and it's, I don't know. To me, it concerns me.
So, Mayor, what you will find, and Chad, I want you to jump in here too. Sometimes councils or elected bodies use consensus because when you see the universe of an issue, you begin to realize that, holy cow, if we voted on that tonight, took a formal action, when I go to the coffee shop tomorrow, I'm going to get my ears boxed. So you'd say consensus. Okay, we're generally in agreement. By consensus, go ahead. You have not taken a formal action.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you some time to go out in the community, talk to others, and begin either preparing or getting the feedback, because you know in 2 weeks or 4 weeks, that issue is going to come back to you for formal action. And that buys you some time to make adjustments. Chad?
I think with Sutherland, I think the issue really sort of relates back to what was being talked about by the mayor at the beginning. A lot of these consensus items seem to come up during council comments when an issue is raised and get into a pretty detailed discussion about a particular issue. And typically, you would want to move that to the next meeting and have that detailed discussion. Whether to do it by consensus or a formal vote, I think really depends on what is the decision you're trying to make. There's times, for example, when I know Jerry's come to you and says, I'm thinking that it would be in the city's best interest to apply for a grant. But before I start doing this work to do that, and before I bring it back to you for formal approval to actually apply, I want to know if it's worth investing staff time to sort of do the legwork. So can I get a consensus from everyone about whether or not that's a good idea? I think that's a good example of when formal action isn't necessary. A consensus is for Jerry, a question for Jerry about, hey, is this worth investing some staff time in? At some point, though, it's up to Jerry to come back to you and say, okay, here's the formal proposal that I need you to finally take action. And that's where I think it's incumbent upon staff to do a better job of communicating what it is we're asking of you as a council, and then informing you when we will be coming back to you for more formal action.
Right.
Well, I think that's a good example, because I can remember situations like that where staff doesn't want to go ahead and prepare a 100-page report for us to vote it down. But they need to kind of know, well, would you look at this? Is this even in the realm of possibility for you to look at?
Yeah, and it is a good point. I was kind of getting more at councilmen. You know, if council members throw out ideas and you get a consensus, then you direct staff. I mean, that was kind of, you know, so Wayne just comes up with this idea and we get a consensus and then you bring it back. I mean, if you guys don't have a problem with it, it was just a concern that I had. I didn't like how, you know, sometimes how that was going, but, you know, you make a good point as far as the, if the staff is bringing something.
How would you move it forward then?
Well, if it's, you know,
If Wayne had an idea, and the ideas we've had at the end of the meeting at the council's turn, you know, if you had an idea and you present it,
we've had a strategic plan for a long time, and all this stuff, as soon as we do a consensus, should be put on the strategic plan that's going to move forward, and then there should be a date on it that's going to come back to us at that time.
That's a good idea.
Like Forrest said, I mean, and I understand what Frank's saying, it makes sense. I'm just trying to find some type of, again, mechanism that maybe can just be maybe neater. And maybe that doesn't exist. I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
Tell me what you need to do is shorten the language down to consensus of what you're saying. They're too long.
Yeah, well, you know...
My idea is,
because sometimes it just gets into this.
And
I'm just trying to figure out some type of format, and they're making good points. That's why I'm throwing it out there.
So, Mayor, my suggestion is, no matter how you use that, whether it's with staff or amongst yourself, be very careful of it. But I could foresee that you're sitting there at the end of a council meeting, and Wayne says, hey, you know, I got this idea here. Do you guys think it's worth pursuing? If consensus tells you there's no interest, then you're not going anywhere with it. If consensus tells you the majority of the council is in favor of it, then that you can move forward.
I think you might be talking about people getting things put on the agenda during consensus, during council comments, because three councilors can put something on the agenda.
Sure, sure.
And so you can have three people say, I want to see that on the agenda.
That's no problem.
During council comments.
Yeah, I got no problem. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, that's a good point. I mean, maybe I'm the only one that was kind of, didn't like exactly how it was going. So, I mean, if it doesn't bug the group, I'm not going to make a big issue about it.
There's a flip side to it. Yeah. It can help you move forward with issues. It also sets up this scenario. Somebody is, are your council meetings televised?
No,
they're recorded.
But somebody could be sitting in the office, in the audience, and think when you took consensus to get direction.
And see, I've heard that before.
They took that action.
They took action. And that's why I was trying to think of something neater. And that's kind of, because people have mentioned that before, you know, and it showed.
So, Mayor, in the meeting, you'll have to be the gatekeeper.
Oh, yeah, and I don't
know. Remind people that for the official minutes and for the audience, this was a consensus direction to staff and was not a formal vote. And I think over time, people will catch up.
That's what I was going to say. Just make it real clear when you're doing that, this is for, you know, next agenda or... No.
Or might even not be on the next. Might take
exactly
a month to figure it out or something.
Yeah.
Frank, did we handle your current concern? Council, are we in agreement with that? Then you're going to use consensus carefully and as a pre-action to a formal action sometime later on, it'll be some way for council to throw ideas out to see if there's any support amongst the other council members for an idea.
Maybe something goes along with that, but we can address too, is at enemies, sometimes if you got seven different counselors throwing out seven different kind of directions on what they want staff to do, you know, and it kind of gets to where sometimes I think it looks like, you know, staff is going off in seven different directions, and that's why I was hoping tonight not only come up with some common goals that we want to work on, but somehow, because one counselor can't direct the staff, you know, you need four. And so if it's something really near and dear to your heart, somehow we've got to come up with a process where it gets on the agenda and we can vote on it. And if you got three other people agreeing with you, then you need to go and check all the gutters. on City Hall. I mean, or whatever, you know, if you got to have so many people. But sometimes it gets to where everybody's wanting the staff to do something. Somehow we got to come up with a mechanism to focus on what we want them to focus on and not go off on, you know.
Right. And your tools are consensus or a formal vote.
Okay.
Well, exactly what you said, though, and that would take it as a counselor suggestion, going at counselor's comments, going forward with an idea. If the idea reads a consensus, or if it doesn't, at some point it needs to have.
It's got to happen.
But something has to happen when it's said. I mean, if you come up with a suggestion, whatever it might be, then it needs a resolution. Then it needs either a consensus or drop it.
But yeah, consensus, and depending on the item, you're saying so bring it back and get official vote on it.
Well, if you get a consensus that this is a good idea, we should move forward, then you move forward. And if it doesn't have the following of the rest of the council, then it should be brought forward. We're not going to do this.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of. Somehow we get the.
So if the census nod, Frank, only gives you 3, yes, let's proceed, and 4, let's not, it's done.
Yeah. Well, but we need to understand that it's done.
Yes.
That's what I agree with that. That's what I was trying to get at. Somehow we got to have something, because sometimes, you know, then I think a lot of it adds frustration to the counselors, because not only does it create a problem, like I was saying, but also it's like, well, they have an idea and it never really goes anywhere, and somehow we need to decide if you got 3 other people who agree with you. And so, and that's.
Well, when you do the consensus, you just look at everybody nodding their heads.
You go down and ask each person.
Okay, like, so you ask.
Yeah, I'd say the name, that way it's on record and stuff. But
then if you don't have 4.
But yeah, that's what I like to do with, you know, each idea. You know, I mean,
but
each
count. If you don't have 4 nodding your head.
That's what Frank is saying, then it's dead.
Right, that's for good. Yeah.
Does everybody agree with that? Does that work at that point? Okay.
Well, that works, but then there needs to be on your list there also a timeline as to when.
Depending on what the process
is going to be, because I can tell you on our strategic plan, we got things from 5 years ago that still aren't resolved. So at what point, because this list right here, is stuff that needs to be done in 2015, but we got stuff that we started back in 2010 and 12, and the sewer pump back in 06. So there's things that there needs to be a timeline when a consensus occurs that, okay, within 2 months, we're going to bring you back some information on this, or a month, or.
And that's something would be a case by case basis.
That would be staff.
Yeah.
See, Forrest, I think that's a good concern. So when you arrive at a consensus, the mayor has to be sure to, when the 4-member consensus is given, what are we expecting? We're expecting the city manager to come back in 2 weeks with a report telling us what we need to know about that, or coming back and saying, if this becomes a project, here's your other priorities. Which ones do you want to knock
on? How long is it going to take?
Yeah.
Yeah, some more laid out. Yeah.
When I was talking the other day with you on the phone, I don't believe that it's the council's position to come up with the ideas. The staff is working out there. These guys are working every day out in the field. They see what needs to be done. Staff should be bringing the council decisions to be saying, okay, do you want a consensus on this? Do you want us to work on that? Comstock is a fine example. We've never given a consensus to go forward on the north side. I mean, even though it was in the first original plan, the urban growth deal that we were talking about, you know, we've never got a consensus from the council as to, yeah, let's check into this. So some of this stuff, the staff needs to bring you something that you can say, yeah, yay or nay, do we want this? Because what's happening is the councilors have brought it up, and then we've voted for the consensus.
So, Forrest, you're looking for more aggressive action on the part of the manager and staff to bring ideas and issues to the council.
Well, I think there's, you know, they hold up brains. They're
absolutely.
They see the community just like all of us do, and so when they see something needs to be done, I don't feel that they should be waiting for us to direct them to say, yeah, we need this, like a street swept or something, you know, or are we going to put a policy out to where we're, say, sweeping the streets every 2 weeks, you know? I mean, I don't think
right.
That's their
yeah.
job,
yeah.
But then they also see what needs to be done in our community, you know, to come back and say, do you want to, well, Central Avenue, you know, we were talking about repaving it or trying to take it over or something, you know, I mean, that's something that needs to be brought to us to make a consensus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're just saying day-to-day operations stuff,
yeah.
That need to be doing.
All right, yeah, that's
the day-to-day, I agree.
Because I don't think that we should be telling them constantly, you know, what, how to do their job, because they're more than capable of doing their jobs.
I totally agree.
See, I think most of their job is dictated, in fact, the budget level. Because you give them X amount of dollars to do their job, and they have projects that they're going to do during the year. They don't have a lot of money to go looking for outside actions, because I think our reserves are down considerable. So all this can be addressed at the budget, and those are their marching orders for the year. You got this money to do this project, you can bring it in under, and maybe you can do something else with the extra, or you can hold it over for next year. But I think...
But then again, you've got to have ideas months. For the next year's budget. It's like this budget right now, what ideas do we have? We're going to get the budget early,
no.
And we have...
When you run the budget, you'll square that all away.
And see, and I agree with...
No, when they've already presented their budgets, they're going to spend money for this year. I'm going to step up with other councilors and say, no, don't spend your money there. Spend it over here. Now, they've already got an idea as to what they want to do for the year.
Well, yeah, that's all done at the budget. We'll do that at the budget hearings. If you don't like their ideas, then we can redirect it. And that still gives them, at the end of the budget process, that gives them the marching orders for the year.
Because I know that a lot of them
have
projects that they do want to do in the community.
And that's kind of like my point, because you have this big picture that I like to focus on personally.
Yeah.
And then when you have these different ideas, that's why I was trying to implement a plan, because I think it pulls away from bigger projects that you wanted to do by going off in all these different directions. That's why I was trying to come up with some type of mechanism to where kind of keep your eye on the big picture and not get off all the time and like Frank, you know, and have your consensus with four people, and that way they're not always getting pulled away. The focus, like what Forrest, I believe, is saying, like on the master plan or whatever your big picture that we want as a group to do. And that's why I was trying to go with this consensus. I was trying to figure out a mechanism to where we're not getting pulled away for every little thought that somebody has. We're trying to stay focused where we can accomplish the bigger things, the streets.
I think, Forrest, what I heard from you is, okay, so we approved the budget. We're halfway through the budget year, and staff now makes a realization that a project can't be completed as originally designed, and they come back to you and say, you know, we can't do it this way, but we can do it this way and save $50,000 or whatever. That's what you're looking for.
Well, we have things that pop up in the middle of the year that, well, the fine example is just like the urban growth we've been talking about. You know, we bought Forest Pond, and there's land that we can maybe be able to swap for other land that's in the urban growth. That's something that wasn't budgeted for,
right?
And now we're talking about doing something with it. But anything that develops our community is what we're after. We're after
exactly.
To expand our community. We're after to get the best business in here, the best streets. Anytime you lose focus of that, I don't think the city's ever going to grow. You're going to remain stagnant. So you have to continually be looking as to what we can do to improve our city, and a lot of it is infrastructure and making buildable lands and different, you know, businesses will then come to where you'll increase your tax revenue and people in your community. And if you focus on other things, then they know, you know, where everything is. And so as things arise, their input is valuable, you know, to come back to the council and tell, say, you know, this would be a good deal to do, and then the council can vote whether or not they want to do it. But we really never get them. They give us meetings. They give us staff reports. But they never step up to the plate and say, you know, this would be a good idea to do and persuade us, because you've got to persuade the council to make decisions to steer you in the right direction. They're
right.
They talk to each other every day, and they call us all kinds of names.
So, Forrest, what we did is we identified under consensus that you want more ideas from staff. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Oregon budget law gives you great latitude within certain parameters to change the budget. So what you might adopt on July 1 is your municipal budget. You get to December 30th and discover we can't get that one done. We have money, but this over here needs to be done. Or here's an opportunity. We can buy that critical 10 acres for economic development, but we have to change the budget to do it. So there, you have a lot of flexibility there. Did you have a comment? All right, what else? Jerry.
I have one that I think that I'd like us, it's kind of like what we do at the staff. You know, we have our hiccups. We have our moments of conflict and discord. But like a family, you know, we work through it. One thing I'd like to have us do is come up with a system. What if something goes wrong? What if somebody does something? I'd like to agree upon a process on how we're going to problem solve. Problem solving is the one I put down there. But as a group, you know, the what if something goes wrong? One of the things I try to do with city staff, and they'll tell you this, that I don't care about credit or blame. They hear me say this all the time. All we really care about is the city or results. And so when an employee makes a mistake or does something or, you know, hey, all right, dust yourself off, you know, let's not let it happen again, but let's find a way. So we don't spend our time pointing fingers at each other or that. We come together and say, how can we fix it? And one thing that we don't have amongst us as a team is a system of what do we do when something goes wrong? How are we going to deal with it? Are we going to do a lynch mob? You know, just go after, or what are we going to do to come together and really see what caused it, put in systems for preventing it, dusting ourselves off and moving forward without.
I guess I don't understand what you mean, what's going wrong. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, anything goes wrong.
For us,
what do you mean for us? Are you talking about city staff? That's your job.
Let's take you and me. What if something we did at a council meeting you really don't, and you're ticked off? Well, how do you want to solve that? Do you want to do it at the council level there? Or do you want
to call a council member that ticked me off.
I'm talking about me.
Or our staff.
Okay.
All right. I'm not gonna.
That's what you're talking.
Air my laundry out from everybody else. I'll come to you and tell you what I don't like. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I don't know why that's even a problem.
If force
makes me mad, I'll go find out who's working and say, hey,
you know, okay, maybe, just so long as,
I mean, I think that's the right. Maybe I'm wrong.
One of the problems we had is when we bought the pond, we paid $3 million for it. And we bought it with the understanding that it had a buildable lands on it, a subdivision approved for this property. The problem comes up is there's no access to this subdivision. When we bought a piece of property, there's no access to it. And I'm not trying to go, you know, after anybody. The question I would have is, how do we stop something like this from ever happening again? This was appraised for 1.8. We paid $3 million, and I'm thinking we made a really big mistake. And I would like to see something written in stone that says we can't do that again.
Well, Frank, I'm going to argue with you. There is access to it. There is a road that goes there and goes up there, and the Bonneville Fire Administration, starting in April, is going to rebuild that road all the way to the top of the hill.
When we bought it, there wasn't any access to that property.
No, there was always an easement access.
There has to be an easement that goes up there.
We drove all the way up there in our own vehicles on that road to mow, right?
Right. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
So let's get back on. What kind of mechanism are you wanting to put a certain mechanism in place?
Something that.
What's your plan?
That
you got a plan? I mean, I'm just.
I would say that property purchases like this should go through somebody that knows how to purchase property, and it should have been done at executive session and on the QT. I mean, that's, you know.
So your property,
you want to spend $3 million of taxpayers' money on QT? Is that what you're saying? Quietly?
No. But I wouldn't advertise to the seller that we're buying that piece of property.
You don't think they know? I mean, how big do you think this town is that people don't know what you're doing every day? I mean, really, come on here, Frank.
So, Frank, you're looking for some kind of procedure for the council when a mistake has been made to deal with that issue?
Well, no, the mistake has been made, in my opinion, I want to deal with anything in the future.
In the future. So if a mistake...
Not have another one.
Well, with that, the plan that we have as far as having, like Karen said, having a committee on bigger things, would that help address it? I mean, is that a start?
Well, I think that probably if we had a committee involved in the land acquisition, then it becomes the council's had a part in making that decision and doing it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Is that what you do, something like that from now on? You know, so having some type of
title search should tell you all that the easements are going to go.
Yeah, I don't want to debate all that. Yeah, I'm not.
Was there a title search done on Corpus Perkins and showed the easement?
Mm-hmm.
So Karen is suggesting you have city council member involvement. What else do you want to do to avoid those issues?
Well, you can't just have city council member involved if you have areas that require expertise.
Yeah, I
would think a council member could handle that. You tell me I'll be able to get a piece of property.
I think you'd want to work with a professional realtor or somebody like that if you hire on a contract basis.
So hiring a professional to assist is another way.
Well, we did that. We had appraised and we had title search done on it. There was actually a couple of different appraisals on the property. So that comes back to where the information that the council receives, you know, so they can actually look right through everything. We did have one counselor at the time, that's what she did, was look through titles. So,
let me say, well, I completely disagree with Frank about that road. It's been there. It was part of the easement. We purchased it. It was part of 19 contingencies. So I don't agree with that whatsoever, but I 100% agree that we should have, in retrospect, see, I inherited this process, so it was already public when I got here. There had already been multiple meetings with Lone Rock Timber and negotiations. I walked in at the $8 million price range, okay? So I couldn't help the private. But I remember I told the council this, how this is the first time I ever did anything like this in my life, you know, and chasing down these contingencies and understanding these right-of-ways and easements and water rights. I mean, I learned a lot, but I completely agree with you on the fact that if we're going to do a major land purchase, we ought to bring in that professional that you're talking about. It makes complete sense to me. I might... you know, sleep better at night.
Karen?
Are we still on this question?
Yes, we're still answering. Does that work for you? Frank, does that work for you?
Yeah.
Mayor?
Yep.
I think that bringing a professional in, but also let the council know what the cost was, because that's where we had the issue with Andy, hired somebody that's over the limit. We have a $25,000 limit.
Yeah, and I think also the process we put in earlier, you know, if you got a little question that it might have slipped at a meeting, if you ask it, like Karen sent you an email, and like you shouldn't just send it out or forge it, you know, or somebody comes up with something to kind of add to that, you know, that way, because you know, you're not going to think of all your questions at a meeting.
Exactly.
You know, as you're driving down the road, and, you know, and you get thinking about something. That's the process, like we talked about, immediately having access to getting that solved.
Well, even when you hire the professional, sometimes they make a mistake.
You bet. Everybody's human. Yeah.
Well, if they do, it ruins their bond.
Exactly. Right. Council, this work for you? Everybody?
Good.
All right, ready to go on to the next one?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go back to Jerry's comment about how do we work through problems, because it's been a big problem this year. There's been a lot of dysfunctionality and bickering and fighting. I think that we just need to not vilify people. And I did my share, so I'm not trying to hold myself out innocent, but we have to realize that every single one of us that's here is not doing this for money. And they're putting their heart and soul into it to do what they can for their community. And we need to just listen to them and not vilify people.
I totally agree. You know, that's one of the things I had down here. You know, if we disagree, it's okay. And I've always said it's just business. You know, leave it in the council chambers. And I mean, it's politics. That's why there's seven of us up there. You know, and if you want to come back in the next couple of weeks on your meeting, come back with things to argue your facts. But like Karen said, you don't have to attack the person and their character and do all that. Just come back with what you think is a strong argument for your case. You know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. You know, I mean, that's the name of the game. I totally agree. I mean, I think that's... I think that, I don't know about mechanism, I just think that's people kind of looking deep in their heart and trying to do what's right and just be adults and be professional and unless we can come up with a mechanism, I think that's just kind of a do the right thing.
But if there's a mechanism, the government would, Obama would have it now.
Yeah, so I totally agree, I think, and that's the thing about now, I mean, regardless of the past, just move forward and have that healthy relationship. And it doesn't mean I don't dislike it. Next time we might agree. You know, I mean, me and Jerry, we disagree on things. You know, talk to each other, you know, and agree to disagree and get irritated with each other and move on, you know.
Yeah, you've only hit me three times.
Yeah.
So I don't think one's not that
good. Yeah, pretty good.
I have a kind of an unusual question that kind of goes with this. Dealing with employees, we have a social media policy on what employees can do. Is there such a thing with a social media policy for city council members?
Yeah, don't do it.
Well, Chad,
councils create the rules all the time, procedures about when a member of the council communicates and making sure that they're saying they're doing it on their own behalf as opposed to the city's behalf. As I was saying before, just like an email, any social media communication about city business is a public record that the member of the council is going to have to make sure he or she retains, and of course the record retention policies. So there are some sort of procedures and rules in place that apply to it, but typically an elected official is not like an employee. They've got more sort of independence than an employee to sort of be able to speak their opinion on matters of public concern. And so the city doesn't necessarily have the same level of control, or should have the same level of control of an elected official that they do of an employee.
Elected officials are political by nature. That's mm-hmm. why they're elected officials. So
I was in a Washington community in Eastern Oregon about 12 years ago. And a council member left a council meeting and put on his Facebook that the mayor was, and I can't tell you what the words are. But in the council's policy, its rules amongst itself, it allowed the council to censure the member. And they sat in an executive session, had the discussion, and the person apologized to the mayor, and as far as I know, they never did it again. But it does happen.
What would have happened if he wanted to apologize? They it's a recall was kind of removing the council.
Yeah, unfortunately, their recall, they didn't have the power to put somebody up to recall. But the way that the politician process works is you go out and organize the community to recall council member so-and-so. In this case, they didn't do that. But I've also been in communities where you recall the majority of the council and you don't have anybody to make decisions. That is not a route that you want to go down. So, Karen, going back to your suggestion, if we all accept the fact that we're all here to work in the best interest of the community, we're not going to vilify people, we're not going to attack, we're not going to use social media to attack people, we're going to continue, as the mayor says, moving forward as a team to benefit the community.
Yeah, I just, you know, I feel communication is key, you know, even with the staff. I mean, it's... Otherwise, you know, it's not us versus staff. It's not us and staff versus the community. you know, or if not us, you know, convincing the community to go against staff. I mean, it's just, it's all of us working together for a common goal, you know, the best we can. And like I said, I mean, and everybody's, you know, and the big thing is just, you know, if Frank's got, I'm just using for example, you know, but you know, if you've got some, you know, that's bugging you because like a timeline or something, you know, just communicate it, you know, but instead of more, less of attack, and just, you know, and just everybody talk more, I just think a lot of things will just fix itself in a sense because, I'm all for everybody getting their questions answered. I'm just for more uniform, structured ways of doing it. Is, and, you know, so that's just kind of my two cents.
Well, I think there, I think that I've been not understanding that you can ask questions and get them passed out to the city council, because I always thought that was against the public records.
I know, it's getting kind of, yeah.
And so then you start doing it in council meetings, and a lot of these things you could be doing, and you could be making the rest of the council aware of what your question is.
Yeah. That's good. And we can clarify that, we can do that. And that way, you know, yeah, things don't get, you know, well, like Forest, sometimes there's timelines, you know, sometimes, you know, by the time you get to me, like Forest, it's like, okay, it's 2 weeks old,
right,
or whatever. Or sometimes, or you just keep getting heated, or you get more upset, and sometimes you get yourself worked up, because you don't know all the facts, you know, it's just half truths. And, you know, they're in a rumor by 12 o'clock in Sullivan, make one up. I mean, you know, that's just, I mean, I grew up here. I mean, that's, it's just, you know, so you got to try to, you know, take the high road, ask the questions, and, you know,
do that. Karen, as we talked earlier, the responsibility then falls to the city manager. Once he gets that, he's got to let every other council member know, here is the question, here is the answer. And it has to be almost instantaneous. That's somewhat unrealistic, but there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, council members and mayor, this question was posed by Karen, we're researching it, and I'll have an answer in 2 days. And the more that you can communicate, the more you can sit down with the city manager, with the department heads, and pose your questions and develop that positive relationship, the better off you're going to be. All right, who else has one?
How do you control the public?
Taser.
Taser.
Yeah, if you figure that out, let me know.
We were talking earlier about we come to staff with something that the public knows. A lot of times the public knows way more than we ever do.
Before.
You know, that's true. We're making a decision on stuff. And some of it isn't true, but we've had the public come practically with pitchforks, wanting recalls and other things in our. So, how does, as a council, you defend each other when that happens? You know, do you say, well, make a decision on this, or, you know, go do your recall, or stuff it, or whatever, what do you tell them?
This is probably the hardest area for you folks to have to work, because you want to retain good working relationships with your citizens. They, by and large, are paying the tab. And you want them involved. If you're going to make progress in your community, you need the city, the community, the citizens going with you. So that means you've got to be very transparent. I have seen council meetings where you have the chief of police present. I've been in, this is in Washington, by the way, so you don't think it's an Oregon city, where the chief actually had to arrest somebody who was moving toward the council dais. Do you guys have a council dais?
Mm-hmm.
In your council? The podium. The guy was actually going toward the council dais, which is the raised counter that the council sits at with an axe. So the chief, chief arrested him and put him in jail.
Was that before or after?
Hmm?
Was it before or after they used it?
He got there before they used it. The mayor becomes, I think, real critical. If the mayor can develop a good relationship, if you allow the citizens to have some time on every agenda and let them communicate on the issues as you're discussing them, I think that takes some of it out. But at some point, the mayor has to say, you know, your time is up, or we're ready to move on. Thank you for your input. And no matter what somebody says to you, council, if you stand up at the podium and they say something to you and it's a bunch bunch of swear words and stuff. When they're done, the mayor says, thank you very much for your input, and just move on.
Yeah.
Chad?
Along those lines, one thing that I would strongly suggest is that when someone gets up for public comment, they have a certain amount of time, so they've got 3 minutes to talk. Give them their 3 minutes, say whatever they're going to say, don't interrupt them. You know, if they have a question, you know, let the mayor say, we'll consider answering that question when you're done with your 3 minutes. But give them their 3 minutes so their time is done. And then if you feel like you want to make a comment or say something in response, that's the time to do that. But as soon as you start engaging in the back and forth with citizens, that's generally where things get out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
And then people start saying, well, you gave that person 5 minutes, I want 5 minutes. So to the extent you can sort of wait and pause until their 3 minutes is up, and then you can engage in your conversation, I would strongly recommend that process.
Chad, I don't know about your clients, but most of the cities that I see have a 3 minute time limit.
We have that.
Yeah. And, but the mayor has to make sure everybody lives with that, because that will send people off into a firestorm. Mm-hmm. You gave Jerry 4 minutes and you only gave me 3.
Mm-hmm. So as a council, when you have somebody come up and they're hot and they do talk 3 minutes, I don't want to ignore them, so do we wait till council comments to talk about that situation and then do a discussion on it, or?
Well,
I think for us it's always difficult. My advice would be do not engage them in a discussion. Wait, tell them, hey, we'll get back to you, or the mayor will contact you, or something like that. You don't want to get into a conversation with them there in the meeting about their comments, other than to say thank you very much.
Well, that's only if they're upset, you're saying. I mean, they've got
right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Karen.
Another thing is, it's either in our charter or our council rules. I think it's the council rules. The mayor is not supposed to allow attacks on personalities. Not amongst the council. None anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's. That's why I said you give them the spiel, and they're another 3 minutes, and they're done. Yeah, I mean, I got your back on that. And I mean,
Now, I've seen some communities that you actually have a written suggestion for people.
We're doing that, yeah. Were they writing
so
on
here,
the comment?
Here it is. It tells you how you deport yourself in front of the city council, and that you shouldn't be attacking anybody's. Focus on the facts.
Do we have that?
No, I got it. No, we just have a procedure where they write down on a form.
Yeah.
I'm aware ahead
no,
of
this, this actually is a sheet that people who sign up are given that says when you walk up to the podium, this is how you should deport yourself.
That's part of the form they fill out with their question?
I don't think it's on it.
No, this is separate. No, and it's separate.
Oh.
You use a form for the question.
Right.
This actually is a guidance to citizens. When you approach the council to speak, procedures, the way you should report yourself. No yelling, no screaming, no swearing. In one town, it was so bad, we actually trained people to walk up to the podium and say, Honorable Mayor, members of the city council. And when you begin laying that kind of lightness on people, that begins to change the environment. But it takes time.
Well, the public is ultimately, you see, the chain of command, Jerry's everybody's boss, and it goes on down through, and we may be Jerry's boss, but the public is our boss, so you can't just turn a deaf ear and say, yeah, okay, sit down, you know, and have a blank stare and say, yeah, okay, whatever, you know.
Exactly.
Because every one of them, a lot of people don't put a suggestion box out to you, you know, and say, okay, this is what we want. When they come to the council meetings, they want to talk, they're upset, you know, and so you need to address, when I read minutes, like for our county commissioners, and somebody gets up and says something, they don't even acknowledge that they got up, you know, they just go right on to the next deal. I think that's rude to the public
when
they do that.
I think maybe one process is like, I totally agree, you don't engage in them, let them have their, when they speak, if it's an agenda item, and then when you get to that agenda, when you have discussion, that might be a time to, you know, address your thing. I know I've been directly questioned on stuff, and I, you know, and if it's not on agenda items and stuff, I'll wait to council comments, and that's my time to direct that staff person, the citizen, you know, and I'll say what I want to say to them. If they're, like Forrest said, if they're asking me a direct question, you want something from me, I'll give it to you. You know, but if it's just a rant and it's just, okay, you know, thank you for your time. And I mean, some of the stuff is so, I won't address because I'm just not going to go to that level. And preferably you want to chit chat with me somewhere else or whatever, but there is, I think, times it's just kind of a, but I think with an agenda item, I think you have your time when we discuss the actual topic. But it isn't the time to start, like you're saying, start engaging them right there in that back and forth, because then it just turns into a train wreck. And
you'll get a feel for which ones you should engage in. Or
that's kind of, yeah, that's better.
Jerry, you may know, I don't know if anybody who still does this, but maybe the mayor says at the end of the 3 minutes, you say, Karen, your ideas are really good. Would you mind meeting with Jerry and pursuing those? So that you give that person an out, give them an avenue to go and continue the discussion.
They can take their action, go see Jerry.
Exactly.
Good idea.
You put a big X on.
Chad, any of your customers use any techniques to deal with that?
Well, there's several of them have in their council rules that they won't respond to questions at the meeting, but rather direct the city manager to respond to those questions at a later point.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, just to Todd and Forrest's point, that the key is in controlling the meeting that I've seen is allowing someone to have their say, get it off their chest, and then if you want to respond, wait until the time's up. And sometimes you feel like you want to respond right after the public comment, that's fine. But then it's incumbent upon the mayor to fully explain, your time's done, member of the public. You know, Councillor Stone would like to make some short response and then we're going to move on to the next person. But just be very clear about the process that you're using in advance so it doesn't seem like you're cutting someone off mid-sentence. Because that's when it really gets bad. Is if I'm saying something criticizing Forrest, and then Forrest wants to respond, but I want to respond to what Forrest said, and I want to engage in that conversation.
Yeah, it goes back, yeah.
And that's incumbent upon the mayor to basically say, okay, Chad, you've had your 3 minutes, thanks, we're going to call the next person up, but before I call the next person up, I think Forrest wants to say something, and then when he's done, we're going to call the next person up, and Chad, you're not going to talk anymore. And knowing that in advance is going to keep me a lot more calm, and knowing that, hey, if I want to respond, I need to do that at a different time.
It might be giving that counselor the 3 minutes, too. You know, I mean, like the response, you're giving the public 3 minutes, that way they feel okay. You know, if it's really hot, you know, using a 4 second example, if you want, you know, if it got to something like that, like, okay, now you can respond, but you got 3 minutes to get it done. Because, you know, because then you're letting your counselor go off for 20
it's
minutes.
Kind of like what's fair for the goose.
Exactly. You can keep it balanced, and if you're going to go that route, I personally don't.
Yeah, Karen.
But, Chad, you were supposed to be yelling at Forrest in the first place.
Right.
That was against the rules.
Yeah. But at the time, I mean, there's, because of free speech rights, we can ask people to stop, we can talk and say that they're out of order. But it's a fine line between saying, okay, you're out of order, and we're going to ask the chief to remove this person. Because unless they are truly making it impossible for the council to continue with its business, they've got a lot of leeway to do whatever they want. And we have to be very careful about that because there's some different case law out of the federal courts that have basically said, hey, if you kick someone out of a meeting who hasn't actually disrupted your ability to conduct business, that that violates their free speech rights. So even though we can say, you're out of order, our rules say you can't yell, if they want to keep yelling during those 3 minutes, we're basically just going to have to be quiet for those 3 minutes. If they don't stop after 3 minutes, then we can kick them out. But during those 3 minutes, there's got to be some leeway there before we're going to tell the chief, hey, kick this person out.
Yeah. Well, and just so everybody knows, because we're a paramilitary organization, I'm going to defer and delegate to the higher authority, which is the retired chief of police, now counselor.
Well, I'm still bringing my own gear.
I think if the council keeps in mind that you signed up for this job, your job is better. You do a better job when you listen to people, but you do not have to take abuse.
Yeah,
and you might want to go back and check your council rules, and maybe some of it needs to be strengthened or added to after this discussion.
Yeah, Yeah, we can discuss that a little bit more. You know, my thought is, you know, I got thick skin, I can take it. But the citizens can, you know, if they're heated and stuff, but it's for us to take the high road and, you know, thank you, or, you know, respond in different time, you know, and like Chad said, there's a lot of leeway, and I don't want to certainly jeopardize, you know, just what he said, and jeopardize, you know, and give them their time to speak. Yeah.
And the research tells us that most people will be happy with having 3 minutes to give you their opinion.
Yeah.
All they want to do is be heard. That's why it's important for you as a mayor and council to say, gee, thanks for coming in and sharing that with us.
Yeah. And if you give them their chance.
The word that they say, but model the kind of respect that you want people to show you.
Yeah, a lot of times people think, you know, I've been in enforcement and public safety for 17 years, and you give them their time, you know, and there's a balance, there's a time to cut it off, and I realize that, but there's a time, too, they just, you know, they say their piece, and then it'll be done, and, you know, so just finding that
right.
Balance.
It's the balance you're looking for. Anything else on that one? Did we respond to your concerns for us?
Yeah, the only other time that I've had two people over the time I've been on the council to still argue with me in the parking lot when I've gone outside, so mm-hmm. That's where, you know, you try to not to grab them by the throat, right. But at one point you can. No, it's a deal to where, you know, we've had a couple issues, it's been real hot, and, you know, they don't calm down, that's why I say, if you don't try to calm them down in the meeting, they're more agitated outside. And then that spreads rumors, which gets more people in the public ticked. Where the next meeting, there's more people there, and a lot of it's they're uninformed. You know, I mean, they haven't been to the workshops or the things that have been going on. And then back to some of the information the staff brings to us. Sometimes we've changed things, even on like with the sewer rates and stuff. We've changed things as things gone on when we've had the public there,
right? Yeah.
Talking about it or. Kind of a cost breakdown with the public there. So some of that stuff, you know, you try to be as most informed as you can, but sometimes we're guessing right along with the public when they're out there. So when they get talking to us, some of them can get pretty agitated. And it doesn't solve anything at all. But,
right.
But I was just wondering how you, the best way to treat that, you know, because you don't want to kick people out or the meetings. And there's been a couple, 3 times they've got pretty hot in there.
But I think, Forrest, you'll find that if the chief has to, at the mayor's order, has to remove someone, everybody in the community knows that that was the appropriate action. I've never seen that back there. I have been, that's just kind of a sidebar here, in a community a few years ago where the meetings are televised. I would not suggest you do this. So you start the meeting and there's nobody in the audience. But because you hate the mayor or you hate one of the council members, you think on TV you heard them say something and you jump in your car and drive to the council meeting and come in, guns ablaze, only to find out afterwards that whatever you thought happened didn't happen. Yeah. Chad, you were going to comment.
Yeah, I was going to say one more thing, one more clue that Todd or the councilors can use is, if you have a group of people who are all saying the same thing, there seems to be a misunderstanding about what's going on. There's nothing that precludes Tom saying, we're going to take a little break in public comment because I'd like to give staff a chance to clarify this particular issue.
Yeah.
About whatever the confusion is. Because they're seeing, you know, because we know that, hey, their facts aren't right. Instead of having to listen to a half hour of public comment that's about something where they've got a misunderstanding, mm-hmm. You can have staff interrupt the public comment period to clarify that particular.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And maybe bring up that topic that you know is why they're all there for. Listen to the discussion, and that might wipe out lots of the questions. Mm-hmm. And then if there's still people that want to talk, like Chad, I think that's a great idea, then you bring up the remainder exactly. Of the question. Just continue where you left off, but you just kind of twist a little bit because after discussion, after they hear everything we're hearing, they might, oh, okay. You know, but yeah, it's a lot of half-truths, and that's in half-truths, bold-out lies you can defend in the half-truth because, you know, they don't know the whole picture. You know, they hear something in town. I mean, it's like Forge Pond, or you can go with a lot of different examples. Well, there's more to the picture, and you've got to, you know, take them on that path, and that's just, you know, and defending the council as a whole and not, you know, throwing each other to the wolves and
And this does put a lot of pressure on the mayor, but it requires the rest of you council members to stand with the mayor to keep your meetings under control.
Yeah.
All right, did we cover this one enough? Forrest?
No. Okay. I mean, Chief shoots the gun in the air. Okay.
Remind us to give you bullets.
All right. Jerry, what else does this group need to talk about?
Well, the one key thing is the priorities as we laid out as staff. That we, if you recall during the strategic planning process, you actually took the time to look at a wide range of work that we had on our plate to do. Some of it's mandated, we have a choice, it's maintenance related or this. But you created what's called Tier 1 priorities, in which you, the council, said were your highest priorities. And I'm not necessarily saying you need to do it tonight, but I would like to, I mentioned this to Council President Stone and the Mayor, it'd be great that if you looked at this, understood it, and recognized that kind of at the end of the year, if you're going to evaluate my and staff's effectiveness, you got kind of a to-do list. So when you do this, did you do it by the time we said? Do we do it, you know? And it's a great tool for us to understand that you recognize this. These are our priorities for the year. And the other thing that really helps, once we understand what our priorities are for the year, this is our recommendation to you. These are the assignments we've made to staff.
In order of importance?
No.
Okay.
No, they're by staff.
Got it.
Who's responsible for
them.
But more importantly, you mentioned it earlier, Paul, and I don't know if you guys, let's say this is on our plate and you've got an idea. You brought it to the council. Council really, really, really likes it. Okay. We like it. We all want to move towards that idea. How does that affect the work priorities for the year? So that we at least re-examine the impact of that new idea on the things that we said were our priorities. It could be that after examination you say, you know, that's a great idea, we're going to save that for next year. Or it could be we look at it and say, you know what, we're getting these wrapped up, we can assimilate that into the project. Or vice versa, say, you know what, we've got to choose something that's going to get not done or accomplished this year. So I want to propose this for you to look at and consider, maybe not necessarily tonight, but fairly soon, your thoughts and ideas on what, you know, one of the things that former Mayor Cameron did with you guys is he said, and it made great sense, this is too much, you know. Let's focus on what council wants to see get done that's reasonable for us to look at. And I guess that's it. I just said, having some clarity on what your priorities are for us as your staff is important.
Yeah, Frank.
Well, this is staff's list.
Right.
And you have Homer-Belt agreement. I'm not familiar with that one, real. Engineering contract, grant writing, strategic plan update, SPOA contract. I don't even know what that stands for. Web design, code update. I mean, there's just a lot of this stuff that we don't even have any background on and understand of why it's even on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to make a decision, I want to make an informed decision.
So would it help if we had maybe like work
that's
around
important.
A meeting to kind of explain each one?
Well, you explain whatever you want. I mean,
I should say I may go through each one, but like Frank, which ones did you want more explanation on? Karen, you know, in that way.
I mean, there's just an awful lot on here to happen in the rest of this year.
I agree with what Frank said, but I'm not real sure that council should be involved in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, at least all of it.
This is your stuff.
Yeah, but he's right. You should know about it.
And well,
the Southern Police Officers Association is the union that we're negotiating with.
Well, why don't you just put that off to the side there, and that's it. And that's all I care about, seeing that's what that is. I don't care.
All right.
I mean, unless it's going to come to a vote that we have to decide on something, that's your job.
Karen?
But,
well, I do agree with Wayne. I think that a lot of this stuff, like updating the city policy book and website, we don't have anything to do with that. It's what we need
unless
to do
unless we're
going to
change the policy.
What we need to do is decide what are the priorities for the council I mean, what do we want to accomplish? We've got the trail, we've got the fire department is probably the biggest priority. We've got streets. Someday we have to do something about the streets.
Do we want to come
those
up,
kinds of things.
Do you want to come up with a number? And maybe we can all think about it, come back to the next meeting with our top five. And then
well, I don't even know if you want to pick out of this. I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying. I agree. Come up with your own.
I don't even need to see this is what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know how far down in the city business the council member wants to go, but I
agree.
I don't care about all this. I really don't. I'm more involved in the city streets, the sewer project, the big things that are coming up.
Exactly.
That's what we need to be involved in. This is ongoing web design and stuff like that. I mean,
that's in-house.
That's in-house.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is that this is what we got on water work right
now. So do you want to have a top five?
Did the council approve this list?
No.
Okay,
no.
So that's staff's list.
I approve this message. Yeah. I mean,
so Mayor, here's a couple different ways you might think about doing this. It's clear that because the staff has gone this far, you have a pretty darn good staff. They know what needs to be done. I know where you're at in the budget process, but maybe the first step in developing next year's budget would be a workshop between the staff and the council and have council identify what are the priorities for the budget. Then I assume you're budget officer. Mm-hmm. Then you direct the budget officer to build next year's budget around these priorities. Mm-hmm. There's 1,001 routine day-to-day things that a city has to do that you, as a council, you really don't want to get involved in.
That's why we pay him money.
But you do want to set those most critical priorities, and you should expect staff to build a budget that carries those out.
And that's the report you should be getting.
Exactly.
That tell you where those things are going.
I agree with you.
And along those same lines, Jerry, is the weekly report that you send out from all your departments and stuff like that, where you've got a big list of this, I could care less if they repainted the gate at the water tower.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the ongoing maintenance and stuff. If they have two or three things that we need to keep up to speed on, like the design and treatment plans, I'm fine and dandy, but all that other stuff, if you send out birthday cards, she's not going to tell me to who, I don't care.
Unless it's to me with money in it, right?
You just trim those down a little bit.
That's your staff report.
Tell me what you things are doing is all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get that done to a page, that would be great. Sitting there on Sunday night, you know, all teary-eyed.
So, Jerry, you should take a look at this. Another model that I've seen used in many communities. So once the council identifies the budget priorities, and the budget gets built around that, you take each department, say, this is the police department. This is the purpose of the police department as it relates to the priorities. Here's how it's staffed. Here's how much it costs.
Yeah.
Here are the objectives that we're going to achieve next year.
Yeah.
And that gives council not only that original set of priorities, but how are we going to measure the effectiveness of each department?
Mm-hmm.
Frank.
Well, I'd like to see another meeting kind of like this, but with the council and staff to go over what the council wants. As an idea, I just read that either Bend or the Dallas or someplace just did they moved their into the urban growth boundary. They changed it to mixed use, so that a business could come in and locate there, because the business was looking at paying $22,000 in highway traffic impact study. They had the ability to do rather than change the zoning and go through the process, they had the ability to put it in mixed use, which allowed the business to locate. That's, I mean, you know, I read tons of material, and when I see something like that, I'm going, yeah, well, we're missing the boat. I mean, I'd like to have this discussion with the council, at the council level somehow, and, you know, kind of point out these things. I think we're just missing the boat.
Yeah, around Oregon today, I can think of a dozen cities who are changing their comprehensive land use plan to allow mixed use. Yeah, yeah. That's where the economic development action is.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry.
Well, again, go down to the third box with Luther and Connell, and we'll see that as our task. UGB comp plan review and moving of residential land. So that is, in fact, we have a meeting next week with DLCD to do, so you have our work done with that.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any concerns about what you were saying about
okay.
your evaluation of you and staff as far as your priorities? Is
after
that,
we do this, once I get to council.
After you get R5, okay, mm-hmm. So that addresses everything else. You don't have any other.
I think that's great that that's on there, but I don't think you knew what that was. Did you, Frank?
No.
Okay. No, that's the point I was making with Frank.
This is showing the way down, and this really doesn't even need to be sent out. If your report, if your staff report, talked about what he's talking about.
Yeah, we did.
Maybe
our
activity
report.
So the next step is to have a meeting to have the five. Or I say five, yeah. Or whatever we decide on.
Yeah, set those in line with the budget.
Okay.
This would be my recommendation. Is that okay with you, Jerry?
Yes, sir, of course.
Yeah. So that would be a meeting, Mayor, to sit down with staff. It just takes a bunch of newsprint and say, okay, what are our priorities? If there are too many, then use the old sticky doc trick.
No.
Or number of them. Throw darts at it.
Yeah.
Does that work for everybody?
Yeah, bring the dirt.
Yeah. Blindfold in. Play crickets. All right. What else?
And then the other suggestion that Frank had is city council and staff have a work session around that list.
Well, around whatever our list.
Mm-hmm.
This is staff's list.
Council priorities.
So after council sets
the
priorities,
the same thing we're talking about,
then make the staff.
Yeah.
That's right.
So many things we need to do.
And I gave it to you so you know what we're doing internally, but there may be one of these things on here that you say, you know what, I think that should rise the level of council accountability.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could bring that up at our meeting. I mean, that's the whole idea.
And we could spell it out a little bit more mm-hmm. because...
Right.
I think that's a good idea. Just have a small
there are things on here,
little
like,
explanation of what it is.
That I asked about at the last council meeting, like the water master plan. I thought, why would we need a water master plan? We just did build a new water plan. I'm wondering if it is already now.
He's got to have something to do.
Well, again, this is why we spent an afternoon, you know. I just want you to give us a snapshot of what we have or have identified on our plate to do this.
And incidentally, there are two people with the last name Harris. Don't ask me about the water master plan. I don't know what it is.
Oh,
the other Harris.
Oh, shoot.
Anybody else have? That was kind of what I had on my list. I don't know if anybody else brought something that they want to.
Council, any other issues that we need to discuss? Staff, any other issues that need to be discussed?
No, I think Frank did exactly what I hope he'd do, or somebody would do. I appreciate it. We'll make that workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank everybody for doing this, being open-minded, and you know, and just that's just it. You know, just coming together and not dwelling on passing. I just really want to appreciate. You know, I'm impressed, and I think it's a positive thing.
Very good.
So. Well, I think you all did some great work. You're going to get out of here before midnight.
That's good.
So that's good. Thank you very much for your time and your
input.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks
for the good things. Thanks for the good.
Good job, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
That's wonderful.
invited.
Oh, I'm going to vote.
Okay.
We had fun in the process.
Get them up and read my newspaper.
You're going to do it, you might as well have fun.
That's right.
Thank you.